Praise the Lord bless each and every one this morning, and we do give everyone a warm welcome in the name of the Lord, and I want to thank everyone that's given this morning. The Lord bless you, and we just appreciate the Lord and all His goodness to each and every one of us. We would say sad news, but it's not really sad news, because God's servant Reinhard Bonnke has went on to be with the Lord. He's been promoted to glory. Amen. And he was a tremendous man of God. And I was thinking last night, and this other man I'm going to mention in my message this morning is David Hathaway. And there was Reinhard Bonnke and David Hathaway, and that's only two men. There's more than that. But that was two men that George Jeffreys prayed for. That's two of them. Now that's something, isn't it? Yes. David Hathaway and Reinhard Bonnke was two men he prayed for. There was others. And I tell you, God used them men in an outstanding way. And Bonnke preached to the largest ever crowds in Africa. And he saw many people saved and healed by the power of God.
Amen.
And actually, when I was in the Crumlin Road jail, Brother Adrian Mahood brought me one of Reinhard Bonnke's books, and I remember reading that book in jail. And Reinhard Bonnke's vision was a blood-washed Africa. And one of his famous sayings, and I use it a lot myself, is, "He plundered hell, Jesus, that he might populate heaven." Praise God. So we thank God most certainly for the life of Reinhard Bonnke. Praise God. And what a tremendous man of God. Just a young boy in a service. And an old woman stood up and she says, "I see you." Pointed to him out, breaking bread to thousands of black people. And that was the word of God.
Amen.
And there's even a prophecy given by William Branham years ever before it, that there would be an eagle rise up out of Germany. Amen. Some people don't think, you know, some people think eagles only come out of massive churches. But that's nonsense. I want you to know that now. A lot of us here didn't start off in any massive church, and we're still not in one. I hope you're listening. This is an independent Pentecostal church. We believe God sent a message, yes. But we're not affiliated with anything, only Jesus Christ. That's the way we want to remain, isn't it? Free agents for God.
Amen.
Not tied down. There's so much nonsense today going around. And I thank God there's eagles everywhere.
Amen.
And when the eagles hear the scream, they'll come out and they'll come up. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God for the eagles. Praise God. Also, I want to remember the Watt family in prayer as well. Beulah Watt passed away and she was saved. You know, I remember the Watts, all the girls, there's Ruth and Beulah and Grace. You know, when I gave my testimony in the Brickland Mission Hall almost 30 years ago, and I'll tell you who was preaching. Brother Hennings was preaching, not the young man, the old man. He used to sing in the Elam, Brother John would know him. Willie Hennings was preaching that night, and I gave my testimony, and the Lord helped me that night. And when Willie Hennings got to the pulpit, he says, "This young fella's done a good enough job, I don't even need to preach." And those people could see him that night in the meeting. That's almost 30 years ago, and the Watts came that night to hear my testimony. And that's a long time ago, praise God. Many a battle since. I was listening, somebody sent me something this morning. You said, "Thank God for the battle." You said, "Thank God for the battle. Because God saw fit for to give you the battle. Thank God for it, for the footsteps of the righteous are ordered to the Lord." Amen. Battles are for a reason. Amen.
Yes.
For a purpose. We don't know all the time why, but thank God for them. So praise God. Also, Brother Brian Freeborn sends his greetings. He's having tremendous meetings over in America there. And Brother Andrew Breacham as well sends his greetings. Brother Andrew's been invited to go to Uganda. And me and Andrew as well, next year at some point, have been invited to go to New York. Preach in New York. Praise God. So that's exciting. The land for David Wilkerson. was from and saw a tremendous move of God. So many great men of God, you know, that the Lord used over the years. Praise God. Let us turn this morning to Daniel chapter 5, and there's no way I'll get through all of it this morning. The finger of God. This is what I want to talk about. And we want to read from verse 1 to verse 4. And the Lord bless each and every one this morning. And we know that God will bless his word. Praise God. Daniel 5 verse 1. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to the thousand of his lords and drank wine before the thousand. Belshazzar, whence he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and the silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which is in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold, of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. Let's just bow our heads again. Our Heavenly Father, we just humbly bow before you this morning in the lovely and precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for this great privilege that we can come before thee, a holy God that hears and answers prayer. Father, we would sincerely ask and pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that thou would indeed bless our gathering together this morning, that thou would bless your word to all of our hearts and bless those that's here, and perhaps some had to work or laid aside sick. May you bless them, and may your hand be rich upon them in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the life of Reinhard Bunke, and we thank you for the ministry of him, Lord, and we know you've promoted him to glory. We do pray also for the Watts family at this time and all the family connected. At the parting of our dear sister, we just pray you'll bless the whole family, comfort and strengthen them. At this time we pray in Jesus' precious name. Father, bless your word to our hearts this morning, Lord. Father, just ask for the Holy Spirit, and I take the Holy Spirit by faith to help me. And I thank you, Lord, you do in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. And just let me say, because I'll forget, out at the back of the box, there's the leaflets for the dinner. We're having a dinner on the 21st. I want everyone to come. Bring somebody with you. This is an opportunity to bring someone with you. It's only $17.99 a head. Fill in your sheet, because there's a choice between beef or turkey on dessert. It's a three-course meal, and there's also one for the children. Fill it in. Try and get it back to me as soon as you can. Even if you can let me know the night, how many's interested to go. And because I have to go and see the girl and give her a bit of a deposit. We're going to have a couple of men come, they're local men. I've never heard their testimonies. Some of you might have. One of them, their daughter sings. She's only about 14 years of age. Brother Ian knows both these men. I'll not say who they are. Some of you maybe know. But they're going to give their testimony at it. And then there's the Nightingales. Rock named them that, so I let him think about who they are. And they sing. They're great wee singers, these wee girls. And they're going to be coming and singing as well. So we're looking forward to, rather than preaching or anything like that, it's going to be a night out for us to have a meal together. But it's an opportunity for to give a wee testimony and to have the unsaved in. Praise God. So everyone make an effort to come. If your parents or anyone that wants to come, bring them along. And as many as we can get, praise God. Just pray for the service of say amen. Praise God. Here this man we're reading about this morning, Belshazzar. Belshazzar is actually the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. He is not the son. But he said here, we've read that he's the son of Nebuchadnezzar. But you must understand, in the Semitic languages, there's no word for grandfather or grandson. So it's classed as son. But they say that he's actually the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. And all the scholars and everyone you read about believes that. And after the death of Nebuchadnezzar, there's about 23 years had elapsed to this point So this is not straight away, and we know the story of Nebuchadnezzar, how he was a heathen man and how that he worshipped false gods, but God brought him to his knees. God turned him around, and God caused him to call upon the most mighty God. Now, keep yourself in Daniel, but in Jeremiah 27, verse 6 to 7, "Now I have given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and the beasts of the field have I given also to serve him, and all nations shall serve him and his son and his son's son. Until the very time of the land come, and then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him." Now we saw already through the study in Daniel how the Nebuchadnezzar was the gold, was the head of the first image, and then we saw the second image, and right down, praise God. I don't want to go back too much on it. The sermons are all on the website if anybody wants to follow. This is sermon number 10. And this is the message some people was thinking about, asked me about, would I preach in this? Well, I'm preaching on this morning. I won't be able to finish it all this morning. This is about the handwriting on the wall. This is where the king's knees knocked. William Branham once said of Elvis Presley was all shook up, and he said Belteshazzar was all shook up. Praise God. Now, we won't jump the gun on it. I want to take my time with this morning, and I'll try not to hold this too long. Belteshazzar. Now, these feasts that he had here, he called this great feast. Many believe that his father was co-reigning with him. And his father was away somewhere else, and Belteshazzar called this great feast. It wasn't uncommon to have a great feast in Babylon, but this feast here was uncommon. And he did something in this feast that he shouldn't have done. He used the vessels from the house of God. And these were the vessels that King Nebuchadnezzar had took from the temple of God, from the house of God. And Nebuchadnezzar in all his days never ever used these vessels. But Belshazzar uses these vessels, which he shouldn't have been used. These were only to be used by the priest, and those ordained by Almighty God. So he breaks the laws of God in doing this. And we're going to see this morning how that God doesn't seem to worry. Now, when I understand when I say this, the six last commandments, God will work with you on them. Let me put it in them words. God will work with you on the six last commandments, because they're commandments of morality and stuff like that. But the first four, God will judge on. And you're going to see that this morning. And you know what the first four commandments are. Now, feasts were uncommon, Belteshazzar. This feast was uncommon. There was no feast recorded like it, they say, in history. The only feast close to this feast was by Ahasuerus, king of Persia, the princess of 120 princes in his kingdom, in Shushan in the palace, B.C. 521, and it's recorded in the book of Esther. And this is the only feast in the Bible that you can see that's similar to this feast. This man called a mighty feast, and they got themselves drunk. Praise God, always a dangerous job to get drunk. Amen. And the Bible talks about the foolishness of the drink and the redness of the nose. So many scriptures about drinking. And there's so many Christians today, and they think that they can be a Christian and get drunk. Well, I tell you, that's not the Bible. That's not the Word of God. When a man's really converted, he won't want drink. He'll want the Holy Spirit. Amen. Belshazzar's feast was a turning point in the history of Babylon. It marked the transition from the head of gold to the arms and the breasts of silver of the image. From Daniel chapter 7, you can read about it, verse 1 to 5, about the lion and the bird. I can't go into that this morning. That's another subject. And I don't want to go off on that, but we're going to cover it when we get to chapter 7. I'm not missing any chapters. Pray the Lord will help me. There's difficult chapters to come, but the Lord knows every one of them. Amen. At that time, Darius, the king of Media, come with the Medo-Persian army to besiege his forces against Babylon. Belteshazzar was in this Babylonian place. It's an armed place, and this king comes against it to fight against them, and he thinks he's all right having a big time because they're well armed and they're well seized, but he took fear, He took fear, and he took fear for his men. And that's why he thought he better brighten them up a bit and get them a drop of drink. That's right. Praise God. Let me just word it till you have put it here. But Babylon was an adamant city, and numerous and strongly built, since the city had also provisioned for 7 years in preparation for such a siege, it refused to yield. Furthermore, because the Euphrates River ran beneath the city, Babylon seemed invincible. And you know, in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, we've saw already in our previous messages, God continually showed him, God continually dealt them, showed him through the image that Daniel interpreted, that even though he made this great kingdom and done this great things, it was God that let him do it, but it was going to come to naught. And all the kingdoms of this world will come to naught, because there's a stone hewn out without hands, and it's going to smite the image and break it in pieces. And that stone hewn out without hands is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. And you know, Paul talks about the rock and the weary land and so forth. Praise God. So the king, you know, this king, Belshazzar, was restless. He feared the soldiers and even the generals of his army might be, demoralized by this army coming in against him while the city was under siege for such a long time. And this king, Belshazzar, racked his brain to solve these problems and finally decided to give a banquet for the subjects and pacify them. And he prepared a great feast for 1,000 of his nobles. That's some feast, isn't it? We're talking about having a meal, you know, for a few people. And this fella prepares it for the 1,000 of his nobles. And when he had gotten drunk, a foolish idea came into his mind. And he commanded his servants to bring forth the vessels of gold and silver which had formerly been used in the sacrifice to the God at the temple in Jerusalem. Vessels which his grandfather Nebuchadnezzar brought from the spoils. And remember that Daniel was taken away captive. Remember that. And remember that Daniel was in the school here, taken away captive. And God promotes Daniel to the king's right hand. How many? We know that. Praise God. Even though he's captive, and don't forget about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, taken away captive, and God promotes him as well. And God delivered them out of the fiery furnace. Praise God. And he'd done all these wonderful things to him. But Belshazzar forgot all these things. Belshazzar has forgot these things. And even though Nebuchadnezzar wasn't doing it, he goes ahead to do it. Now this was blasphemous to Christ's discretion. Nebuchadnezzar himself wouldn't even dare touch these things, much less do such a thing. But Belshazzar was so drunk that he became foolish and forgot the fear of God. Now I'll tell you, when a nation forgets God, God will judge that nation. And it looks like this nation is forgetting God. And it looks like this nation's turning from God. And they're bringing things in now that we never would have dreamed of when we were young fellas and young girls. But it's here now. Praise God. Passing all these evil laws and so forth. Blasphemous to do it. But Belshazzar was so drunk, he forgot God. How then could God ignore what he had done? And God couldn't ignore it. And in the Bible we see that when people violated any of the last six of the Ten Commandments, those regulating human relationship, God forgave them and gave them opportunity for repent. But when people violated any of the first four commandments, which dealt with their relationship to God, judgment always quickly followed. Now I want to stress these this morning, and I want to look at these for a moment this morning, and I want us to see, and I believe the Holy Spirit saying to this assembly and to others that's listening in, that God will not accept the worship of another or the praise of another, but the name of Jesus Christ is the only name we're to uplift. It's the only name we're to praise. It's the only name that we're to magnify. It's the name that should be upon our lips more than any name. Not as a curse word that the world uses it today, but as a word of praise, as a word of majesty, that it was Jesus that died on the cross to save us and redeem us, and he's worthy of the praise, and he's worthy of all the glory.
Amen.
Praise his lovely name.
Amen.
Let's remind ourselves, you say you're excited. I am. You've seen nothing yet.
Glory.
Amen. Aren't you glad somebody gets excited?
Amen.
If this Bible doesn't excite you, nothing will. People said to me years ago, this is a boring book. I disagreed completely. Amen. This is the most wonderful book. Amen. And every time you read it, you see something different. Amen. And everywhere you read it, you see Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you don't, read it again.
Amen.
For he's in every page of it and every verse of it. Exodus 20, verse 1 to 7, and this is God when he spoke to Moses. And you know that God spoke to Moses, that Moses saw the bush burning on the side of that great mountain. And the bush had burned, but it never consumed. The fire never went out. And while Moses was herding the sheep, he saw this sight. And Moses said, I will draw aside now and see this great sight. And Moses drew aside to see this burning bush of fire. And it burned and was never consumed. And when Moses drew aside, the voice spoke to them and said, Moses, take your shoes off, for you're standing on holy ground. And you know that God Almighty, the I Am, visited Moses when he said, who will I say sent me? He said, I Am.
Amen.
And God spoke to Moses and God visited Moses. And God gave Moses the 10 tablets of stone, the 10 commandments to God's people. And we hear many things about them, but I want to tell you that God wrote them out on that mountain. And God gave them personally to Moses. And Moses brought those commandments down to the people of God. It was the word of the Lord to that generation. And God brought it to them with his prophet that he visited supernaturally. No other man was visited like Moses was visited. Such was the visitation that came upon Moses. He had to veil his very face because the people danced look on him, for the glory of Almighty God was on him. I tell you, when you call them in contact, you hear so much today, you don't know whether they have the Holy Spirit or not. Absolute nonsense. If God's Spirit comes on a man or woman, you'll not have to put no poster up to say you've got it. People will know you have it.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory.
How could you have it and not know it? Stick your hand in the fire and you'll be fit to tell me it's in it. You'll be burned. And the Bible speaks of the baptism of fire.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, sanctify my prayer. Praise God. Look at this in Exodus 20, verse 1. And God speak all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, and have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And you remember that Israel was 400 years in bondage under the taskmaster's whips, and God foretold it, and God brought them out of bondage with a mighty hand. This is the God that parted the Red Sea and they crossed over in dry ground. This is the God that rained manna freshly from heaven every day. This is the same God that their clothes never wasted for 40 years in the wilderness. This is that same God. This is the God when they thirsted that they drank water from the rock and were satisfied and filled with the water. This is the same God that rained fresh quails from heaven and they cried for meat and God gave them meat till they couldn't eat the meat.
Amen.
This is that same God. And here he's coming down. He says, remember how I brought you out of bondage. I'll tell you, old Belshazzar forgot all this, didn't he? He forgot what God done for Nebuchadnezzar. He forgot that God made Nebuchadnezzar crawl in the grass like an ape, grass like an oxen in chapter 4. He forgot this. He forgot that God caused Nebuchadnezzar. He made him like a tree and the rain came on the stump and it wet in the dew of heaven for 7 years. He forgot all this, but God never forgot it.
Amen.
Let's not forget the things of God. Look at verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. I tell you, God's a jealous God. God will have no other gods before me. And Belshazzar is praising other gods. And Belshazzar is using the instruments that came from the house of God, which no one was to use but a priest ordained of God. A specially ordained man was the only one that could use these. But he has stepped forward, this man, and he thinks he can do what he wants. But judgment came on him. And I tell you, God will do it again.
Right.
Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Verse 4, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or the likeness of anything that is in heaven above,
yes,
or in that which is in the earth beneath, or that which in the water under the earth. No images of fish,
right,
or moon gods, or sun gods, or any other god. We're to worship nothing, only the Lord God Almighty. God's not pleased when we have statues of this, or statues of that, or statues of tell you, God will judge these things.
Right.
God comes to this king, and I tell you, he knows about it. His knees smote one of another. He was all shook up. Thou shalt not do it. Verse 5, thou shalt bow down. Thou shalt not bow down thyself nor serve them. For the Lord thy God, I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the father upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation to them that hate me. So even when somebody does something, it comes to the grandchildren. This is what God's saying. And you remember when they crucified Jesus on the cross 2,000 years ago, and they said to Pilate, let his blood be upon us, and let his blood be upon our children, that God brought the blood on them.
Right.
And for years they were persecuted.
Yeah. That's true.
That's the word of God. And God's word remains the same today. I have someone that I believe God showed me. I believe if a man serves God and his son serves God, I believe upon his grandchildren that there comes an automatic blessing from Almighty God. I believe that all my heart. I believe I can prove it from the word of God. When you serve God and your children serve God, then their children, when they turn to God, and if they'll serve God upon that third generation that serves God, there's an automatic blessing, just like there's an automatic blessing for those that will serve the Lord. For God says, I will bless your children and your children's children.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Praise
Amen.
God.
Glory.
Thank God for the word of God.
Amen.
I tell you, God's real. Thou shalt bow down thyself to no other images. I tell you, people that are in bondage today, I'm glad that a brother Keith's in Limerick in the south of Ireland, and he's reaching Catholic people that's bound down to images of Mary, and they carry images of Mary, and they carry images of Paddy Peel and others that they call saints of God. But I want you to know that when Paul the Apostle wrote to the saints of God in Corinth and in all the different places of the Bible that were living.
Amen.
They were living. And the saints of God are those that's born again in the Spirit of God that's living today. A part of the mystical body of Jesus Christ. Now you tell me this morning, I want to ask you in this service, and I want people to hear that's listening in this morning, if it's wrong for a Roman Catholic to bow down to an image of Paddy Pio or the Virgin Mary, then it's wrong for a Protestant to bow to any other image of any other man. I don't care who it is, if it's not Jesus, can you say
amen?
Isn't that the truth? God will not give us glory till another. I tell you, you know, when they said to William Branham, they said, we believe you're the Christ. And he says that God showed him a vision of a snake. That was a snake. And he said that it was wounded, but it wasn't dead. It was wounded, but it wasn't dead. And he left the field for 1 year. William Branham quit preaching for 1 year because the Spirit come amongst people that began to worship him and deify him and call him Jesus Christ. And he said, I'm just your brother.
Amen.
I tell you, we can deify no man. God will not have it.
Glory.
God will bring judgment upon any people that deifies a man. I'm telling you. That's the word of God.
Glory.
Verse 6 says, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love him and keep commandments, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And how many today take the name of Jesus as a curse word, as a swear word, on live television, on your radios, in your newspapers? We're living in a land, in a country, for people take the name of Jesus in vain.
Amen.
The sweetest name that ever was is the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And how many take that lovely name in vain? And judgment comes for it. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And you know the next verse. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath day. 6 days thou shalt labor, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest. There is a day of rest for the Lord. Now I'll tell you there's something about that. Because when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Paul talks that of an eighth day, of a Sabbath day, which is a rest of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And you cease from your own works. And when you accept Jesus, he takes over for you.
Right.
Amen. It's him that's living in you.
That's right.
It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me.
Thank you.
No wonder then the judgment of God came and Belteshazzar and his guests. Let me quote you Paul Youngi Cho, what he said about this war in Japan in the time of World War II. Let me quote you these words, what he said. Let me quote you what he said, why did God judge Japan? Let me show you what he said. And if you know this man, he's a great man of God. How many's heard of him? Paul Youngi Cho.
Yes.
Listen to this. Japan's defeat in World War II is a good example of this truth. During the war, the Emperor of Japan proclaimed that World War II was a war between the Japanese god Amaterasu and the god of the Christians. Because Japan had thus profaned the holiness of God, God made that nation the victim of a horrible atomic bombing, and it finally had to surrender. Because a man got up and said that it's against our God and the God of the Christians. Now remember, the true God of Christianity is the one true God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of the Old Testament. It's Jesus of the New Testament. Can you say amen? And I tell you, when anyone stands before Almighty God to present some other God, remember there's no God but the one God Almighty. Others are fake gods.
Right.
And even the old god of this evil age, as he's known as an object of worship, Satan, he's fake as well. God made him.
Right.
And he will die the death as a man. That's the word of God.
Right.
Cast into the lake of fire, which is a second death. Listen to this also. The Nazi leader Adolf Hitler proudly proclaimed that later history would record him as a god. If there was any such being like a god, that's what he said. And God struck him down. He persecuted the Jews, and because he persecuted the Jews, that was his downfall. Because the word of God says, touch not my anointed, and Israel was God's anointed. Can you say amen? They were God's chosen people. And God still hasn't forgot them. Let me read you the word of God in Genesis 22, verse 15. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, verse 17, that in blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand of the sun, which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So God blessed the seed of Abraham, Israel. And old Hitler burned them. Gassed them. Do you ever read about Hitler? Hitler was a most evil man. And William Branham prophesied, and he said, Hitler will die a mysterious death. And he did. And I tell you, he gassed those Jews and you young people in this service. Hear this preacher this morning. Many school teachers today will tell you that's a fable. They will tell you that that's fake news. But I want you to know it's absolutely the truth, that Hitler was possessed by the devil himself. He was the disciple of Satan. And he persecuted the people of God. And because he persecuted God's chosen people, God dealt with him and God wiped him off the map. I tell you, God done it. Amen. And I'll tell you, God will do it with any nation that will come against Israel. They're God's people. And also the church of God, the true church. Don't fight against the true church.
Amen.
Now they're talking about this fellowship, but I'm talking about the mystical body of Jesus Christ. It's universal worldwide. Don't fight against it. Don't rev up God's people. You're in trouble. God also has dealt with the communist blow. Here we go, David Hathaway. Because of the communist arrogance, ignorance against God, the Iron Curtain was pulled down and the gospel was allowed to spread into those countries for years. It was banned. They never could hear the gospel in those countries. Communism fell around 1991. The Iron Curtain came down. How many knows that? The wall came down. And a man that God used, a man that God visited supernaturally, a man that God spoke to was David Hathaway. And David Hathaway was the man God used to go into them nations and to take the message of the gospel and the Pentecostal message
took the mop out, and God showed him on the mop, for the power of God would come, and the pieces of it would come, and God done exactly what he said. Now I know people say he's not in the message. Which one? Which one? He was in God's message. He took the message. We have to be careful, like those in the book of Acts. Don't stop these men, because they're not of our clique. Because of their casting out devils and doing these things, God's with them. Hallelujah. Believe it this morning. Let me read you some statistics here for a moment, just so you get a hold of this. Now, I'm telling you, God moved in them countries. You remember in 1991 that I myself was in Czechoslovakia, and the angel of the Lord came into my room, for I was staying, and said to me, "You shall not go to Russia." And then you remember that God had another man he was sending over there. So it's not God's will that we go everywhere. God has special men to send to special places, special forces. There's the SIS. There's the secret forces of God. There's men assigned into nations with a special ministry of God, with a special calling of God to do damage to the kingdom of the devil and to take the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. You go home the day you look up, David Hathaway. Now listen to this. Communism fell around 1991. David Hathaway, in an all-Russia live TV broadcast in 2004, during one major campaign, David reached over 40 million Russians every day for 10 consecutive days with live TV evangelism. 40 million people for 10 consecutive days in live television right in the camp of the enemy where they bonded. You remember, you'd have been put to death before. I tell you, God won't have it. God will always make the breakthrough. Amen? When a nation pops itself up against God and turns something else in front of God, God will judge that nation. And God will always have a people. Amen. And don't ever think, no, nobody will come out of there because they've done this and they've done that. God's got a people everywhere.
Amen.
You better believe that.
Yes.
Daniel should be an example to you all that. Remember, he was captive and took down in there. And he was still God's man.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Moses should be another one. God in a basket took him right into Pharaoh's house. In the human thinking, it's opposite, but that was God all along.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God still forgives all false Christians committed against the brothers and sisters, but if you pull down the true church, you're in trouble. Listen to me this morning, which is the body of Christ, God swiftly judges them. Look at Ananias and Sapphira. In Acts 5, verse 1 to 11, they lied to the Holy Spirit. And they held back part of the price. And you read in Acts chapter 5. Let me read it. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, "Ananias, why have Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of the land? Why has it remained? Was it not thine own, and after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? And why hast thou lied on the men, but not unto God?" But unto God. God knew his heart. You can bluff me, but you can't bluff God.
Amen.
Amen. And it's the same with Christianity. God knows if you're sincere or not.
Amen.
And he wants a sincere heart. Look at verse 9. Then Peter said unto her, "How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out." They died. They didn't receive repentance. They died because they lied to the Holy Ghost. Now, let me remind us all this morning So many preachers in this country get up in the pulpits and they blaspheme against the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They openly and publicly trash them. And yet the Word of God says, all manner of sins shall be forgiven except to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. I tell you, that's a dangerous thing when you call the gifts of God the devil. If it's really God, you're in trouble if you say it's the devil. And I tell you, it's absolutely the truth. Paul said, forbid not to speak in tongues.
Amen.
Glory. We want the gifts of God in the house of God. We should always examine our relationship with God. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. And it's Jesus that's in you. It's Jesus that gives you the strength to live the Christian life. It's Jesus that gives you the power to overcome drink and smoking and all these perversions that's in this world today. Me and you come not do it of ourselves. We can't keep ourselves. We need the Lord. It's the Lord that keeps us.
Amen.
And the God that keepeth Israel, here it is. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. He's not sleeping today. He's awakened and he's well.
Amen.
And he says he's closer than the breath you breathe. Thank God. Amen. Of course, there's the fourth commandment that regards the Sabbath day. Look what Jesus said, Matthew 12, verse 8. For the Son of Man is Lord, even off the Sabbath day. Amen. God can work on the Sabbath. Jesus plucked the ears of the corn when they were through the feet. His disciples did in the Sabbath. They blasphemed them. You know when Jesus did miracles on the Sabbath that the Pharisees and scribes came against them? They were religious, but they weren't born again. They had an experience with religion, but they never had an experience with Jesus. It's not a religious experience you need. It's a Holy Ghost born again experience you need this morning. A experience with Jesus Christ, not an experience with church, not an experience with lodge, not an experience with priest, but an experience with the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Born from above, from out of the dove, from the heavenlies. Born again of the Spirit of Almighty God. What happens? You become a new creature in Christ Jesus. If the pastor gives you wine for communion, it won't put you back in the drink because you're a changed man. You're a changed woman. Matter of fact, it'll be a good test if you've got it or not.
Amen.
You don't need Ribena for communion. You need wine because the Bible used wine and it was intoxicating wine.
Amen.
The Bible says don't drink too much of it if you're drunk. So it must have been real stuff and potent. Not some dead religion.
Glory. Amen.
We want a gospel that's potent.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. It's life in it.
Right.
Glory to God. Of course, it's for the fourth commandment that regards the Sabbath day. Look what Jesus said. He said, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. So to us who believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, even every day is a Sabbath day. Do you believe that? We don't just live for Jesus today because it's Sunday. We live for Jesus every day of the week, and Sunday's not even the Sabbath anyhow. Sunday's the first day of the week. This is resurrection day. Sunday's actually the Sabbath. Amen. Saturday's the seventh day of the week. And Sunday's the first day of the week. Remember, our calendar is a pagan calendar. Don't ever forget that. Thank God we know who we are and we're serving the Lord. It's the same with Christmas. It's all pagan dates, but we still can do it and have a dinner because we know we're doing it to celebrate Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for that. Galatians 2:16 says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, of a new moon, or of a Sabbath day. Don't let no one judge you in it. Aren't we living in the day for we have so much of this, is it vegan you call it? They can't eat meat. They can't do this. They can't do that. We have so much today about animal rights. You can't shoot a fox. You can't shoot a rabbit. But you can beat the boy on the horse. You can give him a good hide and whip his horse and pull him off and rip him up and give him black eyes and that'll be all right. But don't you touch the fox. Or don't you, look, don't you know the Word of God says that God put all these things into our power?
That's
steak or chicken any day.
That's it.
Amen. I don't need, you know, vegan this and vegan. And then they try, years ago we didn't do this, years ago we didn't do that. Where is it in the Bible? When I read the Bible, they sacrificed the lamb and they offered it up to Almighty God. That's the Bible. So I know they eat sheep because the Bible's full of eating sheep. And I know they eat the oxen because the Bible's full of eating the oxen. And I know they sacrificed the turtle dove and the pigeon. Praise God.
Amen.
I know they've done that. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen.
And I know one of Jesus' favorite meals was fish and bread. Amen. I was thinking about that so much against bread, but Jesus liked bread. Amen. And the boy, he took a boy's lunch and he fed a multitude. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Five loaves fed a multitude.
Glory.
Praise God. And in another scripture, 7. Two little fishes.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. Who likes fish?
Yes.
Amen.
One of the best things you can eat. They know that. That's the truth. Jesus ate it.
Amen.
Praise God. My time's going, but I won't go on. Just a few more moments, time stopping. Look at these first three commandments. You'll have no other gods before me. I tell you, this King Belshazzar breaks everything that God's for. He comes against everything. All the lessons his grandfather had learned, he does the opposite. And you ever hear the saying, he still hasn't learned his lesson? You see, William Branham made a statement and another man made it before him. He said, God has no grandchildren, only sons and daughters. Because your mom or dad was saved doesn't mean you're going to heaven. You as an individual have to be born again. You as an individual have to receive Jesus Christ yourself as your own personal Savior. You have to be washed in the blood of the Lamb of God and forgiven of your own sins.
Amen.
You can't go in your mom and dad's tailcoat.
Amen.
Because God's no grandchildren.
Amen.
Only sons and daughters. I want you to see this. You shall make for yourselves no idols. You shall take the name of the Lord your God in vain. You keep the Sabbath. Amen. I tell you, I remember when I was a boy, we darn even to kick the football on Sunday. My dad would have clipped ears off us. And when he clipped you, you knew you were clipped. Amen. It wasn't like the day. You better do it or I'll do this, and you never do it. But see, when I was a boy, when it was said, it was done. How many knows that's right? But you see, modern societies took that away. Modern society, with their education and through the knowledge of the God of this evil age, have took away the control the parents have over their children, and they've produced a lawless and a godless civilization and society. And they produce the children of disobedience that don't obey the parents, that won't obey the school teacher, and they're totally out of control. And they went even further than that till they do the biggest abomination that ever could be done. Where today they don't know what they are. They talk about binary. And you can show up in school as a donkey or a monkey or a clown, as long as you identify to them. Now I tell you, I don't know what you think of that, but that's perversion. How could we identify to the donkey? Let me drop this to you this morning. I want you to know, when God made man, he put something in a man that's not an animal. No animal could ever redeem your soul, because no animal had a soul in it that could come back a life in it. When his blood was shed in the Old Testament, the blood went into the ground. It congealed, it dried up and withered away. It only lasted for a season. It had to be continually offered. But 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ shed his precious blood so that the Spirit of Almighty God could come back, and God's people, the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And God put within you a soul. And every soul is precious to the Lord.
Yeah.
Every soul. And you think of those children, they've passed the law to abort those wee babies. I tell you, it's a tragedy. And every church in this country, I never heard them. I never heard a squeak. I never heard a noise from them. They were as quiet as nut mice. You'd hear them. No noise from the politicians either. They call the 24 meeting before it. What a waste of time. And a first show in the flesh, that's all it was. But I tell you, God's still got a people. God has still got a people. This land's heading for trouble. I'm telling you, in this pulpit this morning, this land's heading for trouble. But I believe in the midst of it that God's people will be strong and they will do exploits.
Amen.
Do you believe that this morning?
Amen.
I tell you, it's a tragedy what's happened. And I tell you, you think of this, young people. Think of this. When I was a boy, if a program come on the television for a man and woman even kissed, my brother John mentioned about it the other week, and he was so true what he said. There was an innocence upon children 40 years ago that's lost today.
Right.
If a man and woman was going to kiss, your parents would have chased you out of the room, then they switched it off, then they turned it over. You wouldn't have been allowed to watch it. But on live television today, and the streets of our country today, over our newspaper today, it's two sodomite men kissing. It's two sodomite women kissing. It's an abomination in the eyes of Almighty God. And God has warned them. And God has told them. But they're like Belshire. They've never heard the voice of God. But God's going to send a tumbling. And God's going to send such a shaking that their knees is going to knock, I'm telling you. It has to happen. God will judge this land. Going to happen. And I tell you, they're running as hard as they can for a united Ireland. They're running the team up. They want to go back to Rome.
That's right.
And you hear me this morning, George Jeffreys had said, met Ian Paisley on the Belfast Shore Road many years ago. I don't know the exact date, but this is history and can be proven. And he said to Ian Paisley, I'm telling you that the Ian Pentecostal Church will go into apostatism. And you tell me if they haven't done it today. Now God would never join us up to that when he calls us out of it. Are you hearing me this morning? These are the words of God's servant George Jeffreys. And he wanted to keep the thing independent, but they wanted a pope over it. And it's not like so many movements. They start well, but once they have a pope to control it, God walks away.
That's right.
Now we'll get to tonight, Ichabod.
Yes.
God's left. And I don't care what movement it is. Once they turn from Jesus Christ,
amen,
he's no longer there.
That's right.
I'm telling you, it's a serious thing, brethren, this morning. And I'm going to have to close at 20 past. Let me read you this. About this divine judgment. I'm going to read these and we'll continue this evening, the Lord willing. Verse 5 of Daniel 5. The same hour come forth the finger of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor could they make known the king the interpretation. When you're working with an unknown tongue, are you hearing me this morning in this church?
Yes.
When you're working with an unknown tongue, you need a man of God with the gift of interpretation of tongues.
Amen.
Are you hearing me?
Yes.
That's what you need.
Right.
And Belshire forgot that there was such a man. He forgot about Daniel. He forgot that Daniel could tell you the dream you dreamed, even you didn't tell him it. He forgot about it. But God knew it. He forgot all about it. How many times does the Lord do something for us and we forget what God's done for us? But God doesn't want us to forget. He wants us to be reminded this morning the day he saved us, the day he delivered us, the day he set us free. And he wants us to give him the respect and give him the praise and give him all the glory.
Amen.
I'm going to have to stop. Praise God. I'm enjoying it. I know I am. You know I am. I have to stop. Praise God. I'm excited. Are you excited? You say, brother, you better watch, you ruin yourself. You know, William Branham said, anything that the Word of God ruins ought to be ruined. Are you hearing me? If something's not Scripture, it needs ruined. How many can say amen? Praise God. Let us stand on our feet this morning. I want her, brother, just to play some, and her sister as well. If you can play, only believe softly. I want us to come in an attitude of prayer. Someone wants prayer this morning. I want them to come, and I believe God can heal.
Amen.
I believe this book, if we preach the truth, that God will come forth and confirm His word with signs, with wonders and miracles in the name of His holy child, Jesus.
Amen.
I believe God's word. Praise God. Let us bow our heads for a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You this morning that You're never changed. But You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit will be pleased to come into this room this morning. Lord, that You'll wash us with the washing of the water of the Word. Lord, You're warning us of idol worship, of false worship. Lord, You're telling us through the Spirit that You want all the praise and You want all the glory. And oh Lord, help us to magnify Your name. Help us to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. If You said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto Me. Father, I pray, and whoever comes this morning for prayer, that the power of the Holy Ghost will heal them and touch them and do whatever they need. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray You'll sanctify us now. Lord, our hands are not worthy, but You're worthy.
Amen.
And because of what You've done,
you,
we can do it because of what You've done. Lord, we take Your authority and we fulfill Your commission in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Just while we're attitude of prayer and our sister and brother plays, I want to ask those that want prayer and our elders if they can come and we're going to pray this morning, anoint with oil and pray. Praise God. And if you think you're not right with God, you come as well. Anybody, this, it's open this morning. Whosoever will may come.